Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother.
So show me.
Announcer said it is Social Geek Radio night. It is a Wednesday, I do believe, in August in Texas. And when it's this hot, my brain gets a little bit fried and I'm not really sure. But this is Deb Evans coming to you from Texas. And we have Jack Munson on the line. How are you, Jack?
Good evening, Deb. Jack Munson live from Nashville, Tennessee tonight. It's 8 p.m. in the East, 7 p.m. in Nashville, and 5 p.m. on the West Coast, and this is Social Geek Radio with Deb Evans and Jack Munson. It's hot, Deb. It's hot all over.
It's hot, but that's all right. But you are in a fun area. We were just talking before we went live about the time, which, okay, how long ago was it that we were in Nashville together when we did the very first, what is now called FranTech, but at the time was Fran Camp? Was that
FranCamp 2011? That was 2011. About 3 years ago. Was the original FranCamp, and every time I come to Nashville, that's really what I think about is sort of the beginning stages of FranTech and IFA getting involved a year or so after that. But that very first FranCamp that we put together in 2011, that was. What a terrific time, and we got to meet so many franchisors and franchisees from different systems, and everybody got together and said, you know, I think this Facebook thing might take off. You know, maybe we should do something in social media and franchising.
It was one of our Fran camps that I actually met our guest in person who attended, but we're going to let her out of the green room in just a minute, and I thought, you know, I should share a social embarrassing story. So this should not happen. Don't let this happen to you. So, or anybody that's listening, Jack, you and I have done many Google Hangouts, and we know, you know, we love those Google Hangouts on air, the ones that are recorded and go to YouTube. And if we have listeners who are not familiar with it, you know, just ping Jack or I, and we can talk about it. But they're great, and normally, when you're in the green room, so to speak, and you're in that Google Hangout on air, as you and I were with Guy Kawasaki and Peg Fitzpatrick a few weeks ago, I did one this week with Susan Black Bass talking about Franchise Capital Exchange. And in the green room, before you go live in 10 minutes, you do what you normally, a lot of people do, you primp a little bit. You look into the computer screen and you make sure your hair's okay and you've got your headset on and you chit-chat about the, is your lower third looking okay, which is how your name appears at the bottom. Sounds a little strange.
Right.
All of that. Right. That's not supposed to be aired live. Well, I went to my Google Plus page after the video processed on YouTube, and all of that was just as live could be. On my Google Plus page. I should have left it, but I was very, very embarrassed. So I hit delete. But it could have been a bloopers. I think it could have been. So my advice to folks is don't trust whether it's Google Plus or Facebook or Social Geek Radio, Blog Talk Radio, don't trust that you're not really live. You're in front of a technology. You're in front of a computer camera. You could be live.
Right, you could have in the radio business what we refer to as a Casey Kasem moment, where you think no one is recording what you're saying on the microphone, but in actuality, someone is. I know Dan Rather had some issues with that too, not knowing he was live in front of the camera. So you're in good company there, Deb. But you know, it's a great reminder that. You know, don't put anything out there. Don't start a hangout. Don't post anything on Facebook that you don't want everyone on earth to be able to see, because there may be a glitch in the system somewhere, and they might be able to see everything. So
be
prepared to be very transparent.
Yes, and you may not be able to delete it, and somebody may have seen it before you delete it. But anyway, so there's our little social message. You know, yes, an embarrassment for Deb, but hey, maybe somebody else will learn from it. So tonight we're going to talk about franchise lead generation and how you should or maybe not use social media in franchising and for prospecting. And we've got a great guest, as I said, that I've met several years ago, Leslie with FranNet. She's a franchise consultant. She was a franchisee. And I know she's very active in the whole social world, and she's great with franchise lead generation. So, Leslie, I'm thrilled that you've taken the time to join us tonight. Welcome.
Well, my pleasure, Deb and Jack. I'm honored that you thought of me, and I'm happy to meet you and your guests. So thank you.
Well, very good. Well, I have to tell you, I learned something about you tonight on the social web when, and actually it was a couple of days ago, and I was looking at your bios and everything. So I think franchise prospects today do just as I do. They vet out their franchise brands. They try to learn more about people. But I bet not a lot of people know that you love and you are excellent at making eggplant tomato tart. I don't even know what that is.
And, you know, right now it's tomato season, you know, fresh off the vine, you know, the farm stand tomatoes, and it's kind of a tart, it's kind of a pizza, and it's my own little hybrid recipe that I put together from other recipes. So it's my pride and joy. And if you're ever in Atlanta, come on by, and I'll make some for you.
Jack, I think we've just received an invitation when we're in Atlanta that we're going to have some eggplant tomato tart. The name of it intrigues me.
Yeah, all I heard is it's kind of like pizza, so count me in.
Count you in. Well, and, you know, and I think, you know, when we're talking about social media and Leslie, you help us out here, but is something like that, that's a little personal tidbit about yourself that you have shared on your webpage. And I see a lot of franchisors where they advise their franchisees or they themselves as leaders don't like to share that personal information. In your business, what do you think? Are prospects, candidates looking to learn more about the personal side of the brands?
You know, I think it's critical. You know, people do business with people. Which is why, you know, when I think about, you know, having a, you know, company LinkedIn page or whatnot, I just, it doesn't jive for me because I don't care about people's business pages. I care about people. And I think people, you know, they want to find ways to relate to you. They want to see if they have something in common with you. And, you know, this whole notion of keeping, you know, business and personal life separate, I think is, you know, pretty quickly becoming a thing of the past. You know, I don't think there's such a thing as, you know, you've got your Facebook page personally and then your Facebook page, you know, for business. But the two really have kind of become one and the same, that I think people from a trust and relationship standpoint absolutely, you know, want to know something about you. I've had many people, you know, prospects in my first phone interaction or meeting with them, they have clearly done some homework on me. And the things that they bring up are, oh, you know, you're into playing darts, or you're into salsa dancing, or, oh, you went to Vanderbilt. You know, my cousin went to Vanderbilt. So, I mean, that's the way people relate to you, are these personal points. So I think it's critical.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I've spoken with so many young people through the IFA and also through Public Relations Society of America who are getting some bad advice from somewhere where I think, you know, they're being told to keep their you know, keep a personal account and then have a different Facebook page or a different LinkedIn account or something for their business life. And I tell them that I think it just leads to a really boring business page that, you know, what are you, a robot? You know, it's you've got to have some personality there. And I think you're spot on with that, Leslie.
Yeah, I am. And I think also people just have to make the decision. And I would almost venture to say that if you're keeping those things separate, and particularly, I know we're talking about franchise lead generation, but a little bit of a different tack here is particularly with, you know, younger folks that are coming out of school or are in school, and employers, and I would think franchisors, you know, good franchisors are checking you out. And if you, you know, have social media sites that people can't access and you're trying to hide something, it almost sends up a red flag.
Sure, sure.
We're quite there yet, but we might be going in that direction.
Let's talk a little bit more about the franchise lead generation. It's very different than with a lot of franchisors and franchisees that we've spoken with here on Social Geek Radio, in that you're not driving traffic in to a pizza place or a retail establishment or something like that. Tell us what you're doing in franchise lead generation in social.
Well, where I have spent most of my time is on LinkedIn. You know, my clientele are typically, you know, mid-career, getting into later career, you know, successful corporate professionals, and they're either, you know, dissatisfied with what they're doing, they're in a career transition, they're looking to bridge out of corporate life, and they're on LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn is their online resume, and so that, by far for me, has been the most important source for me to be active in. You know, I do a variety of things. You know, I'm regularly posting content that I link from my blog. I'm uploading those things to Twitter. I'm nurturing a lot of different relationships on LinkedIn. When someone's birthday, I tell them happy birthday. I pay attention to that daily email that comes out where people get, you know, new job announcements or anniversaries. That's a big part of how I, you know, nurture my relationships. And it goes a long way. Even just a quick, you know, hey, saw that you had your, you know, 8-year anniversary in your business. You know, how are you doing? It's a quick and easy thing to do that, you know, keeps me in front of people and nurturing those relationships. When someone gives me a skill endorsement, I thank them and ask them, you know, what's new in your world these days. So the key is consistency, that I have carved out time, you know, probably 15, 20 minutes. I tend to do it for one of the first things I do in the morning, and then I'm through with it for the day. But just those, you know, 5 or 6 things on a consistent basis have really helped me to grow my presence. I've definitely worked with clients who found me on LinkedIn. They were searching for information, or, you know, someone liked something that I posted. So it's been a slow growth. It's taken several years of consistent action, but the longer I've done it, the more productive it's become over the last several years.
Are you doing anything in other areas in LinkedIn, like the new publishing feature, or doing anything in the groups and some of the other discussions like that?
I have not, and those are and honestly, it's just been a matter of time. I'm certainly aware of the LinkedIn publishing opportunity, and I have a marketing coordinator that helps with these sort of things, and she and I are that's something that we're working on right now. So that will be something I'll add to my repertoire here shortly. Groups is not something that I've participated in. I know that that's an opportunity, but honestly, for me, it's just been a matter of time.
So it's really that sort of one-on-one connection of messages back and forth, private messages back and forth between you and someone who's maybe sent you a message or commented on a link to an article or something that you've shared. Is that right?
Yep.
Great.
And I'm probably doing that with, you know, five to 10 people a day. So it's a time commitment, but you just make it a part of your routine, and it's not something it's not something that I consider a hassle. It's something that I consider as an important part of it's part of my networking routine, and it's been working well for me.
What about Facebook? Are you active, or do you see where Facebook is playing a strong role for lead generation today?
I've never, for me in my business, I've never been able to link back to Facebook necessarily, at, you know, specifically as a lead generator like I have with LinkedIn. Now, what I primarily use Facebook for is almost like my online photo album of my clients. That, you know, because I'm a locally based consultant, most of my business is right here in my backyard, and my clients are my neighbors. So I love the fact that I can go to their grand opening parties, and I go have lunch with them on a periodic basis, and I do my best to get photographs, of all of these events. So I'm using Facebook more or less as my online photo album for local events and client testimonials. Excuse me.
That's okay. That's a good point. I mean, I love photos. I love to be able, and I know I tell my clients too, when they go to events or they're speaking events, you know, make sure that they get photos of the speakers, the presenters, and of themselves, you know, and Jack, I know you just love those selfies, don't you? And was it you or was it one of our guests one day that said, you know, we're in the selfie generation? But
we absolutely are. I don't think it's social media anymore. I think it's self-media. But,
so that's what you – because I've got TweetDeck open. I mean, TweetDeck is open, and I'm – you know, my stream is just populating. And I can tell you, every other column, there a selfie pops up with, you know, Brian's with so-and-so and Sue's with so-and-so, because that's just the trend today. So, Leslie, though, I don't know that I've seen a whole lot of selfies of you.
It's not my thing. Sorry, I didn't catch that virus. So whatever.
That's okay, but I know that I've seen pictures taken of you. Not that you know, it's a selfie, but you know, you said your photo album, and I have seen you know some really good, great photos of you when you're speaking and you're out there networking and you're attending conferences. And I, you know, personally, I think that's really important that people see that face behind that name, behind that brand. As we said, you know, talking about, you know, personal things that you like, whether it's, you know, tomato tarts or eggplant, but being able to see, you know, who is Leslie and what does she look like, and certainly helps when you go to networking events and people look and they say, oh, yes, that is you. That LinkedIn picture is you. It's not, you know, 30 years old. It's a recent photo.
Right. So, yeah, and again, I think it's, you know, to me, the social media stuff, it's all an extension of personal networking. It's just done in a little bit of a different, you know, each of them, like with Twitter, I personally can't say that Twitter has been a lead generator for me, but it's definitely helped me, you know, grow my presence and my, you know, awareness in the franchising space as a thought leader in franchise consulting and lead generation. So it's helped me from that perspective, which is different, but it, even though it's not direct lead generation, it's certainly, you know, beneficial to me in my business.
It must be tough to measure the success when you're talking about generating leads as opposed to what I mentioned earlier with other franchise systems where you're literally trying to drive people into a pizza place or something like that.
Right.
How do you measure your success in using these tools and networking overall, whether it's in person or event networking or something on LinkedIn?
You know, I wish the trackability of this stuff were more black and white than it is. But it just kind of gets back to, you know, general marketing principles. The results come from the accumulation of doing a variety of things. And I would say most of my prospects tell me that they have heard about me or referred to me or it's been from more than one place. You know,
uh-huh.
Maybe they saw me on LinkedIn, and then they spoke with someone who attended one of my seminars. So
got it.
I would love to be able to, you know, siphon it out and say, well, LinkedIn is responsible for X percent of my, you know, monthly lead generation. And, you know, doing a local events is that. But I haven't been able, what's important is that I continue to do all of those things. And
sure.
The working together is what produces the results.
And you do quite a few live in-person seminars there in Atlanta. Is that correct?
Yeah, I say 2 to 3 times a month. I give a
two
seminar.
2 to 3 times a month, really? Wow.
I know. That's a lot.
That's yeah. A full-time job right there, Leslie.
Well, I love doing it. I in another life, I would have been a teacher or a professor because I like being up in front of a group and educating and, you know, and seeing the light bulbs go off when people – you know, learn something new that is significant to them. So I love that aspect of my business. And the social media has been extremely important in helping me promote those events. So that's, you know, very relevant to my lead generation.
Sure.
The fact I can speak to with LinkedIn, I certainly am very careful not to abuse this, but, you know, 2 to 3 times a year, I might send out an email, you know, a very brief email to all my first-line contacts in my local market about a special event that I've given. And that's been very effective in driving attendance to an important event. I don't do it all the time. Like I said, I'm minimal with it. However, LinkedIn recently has kind of changed how you do that, and it's made it a lot more difficult. So that may have to fall out of my you know, suite of different things that I do to market my events, because LinkedIn's just made it very difficult in recent
months.
Sure.
And so what it sounds like is, you know, the overly simplistic idea of selling through social is maybe not the objective. It's connecting through social and meeting people through social, networking, and getting them to the event where, you know, maybe business will be transacted, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, no one likes to be sold. I mean, I don't.
Right.
You know, people like, you know, this is kind of cliche. No one likes to be sold, but they like to buy.
Sure.
And, you know, we hear kind of the buzzword of the day is, you know, content, but I think it's true that that's good salesmanship is when you're providing content and information that is, you know, valuable to your target clientele. And social media has been, you know, is a perfect avenue to do that.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the content. What types of things are you sharing, you know, outside of the private messages and the notes about upcoming events and things? What kind of content are you sharing on LinkedIn that your connections seem to really like, and what's resonating with people? Is it articles from major publications? Is it blog posts? What really seems to be attracting attention these days?
Well, a lot of it comes from content that I write, and where I have my own blog, and it's LeslieCuban.com. I invite you to go have a look. And I've had this blog going since 2010. And I purposefully kept it vague in nature. I didn't want to make it all about franchising, although a lot of what I write about is franchising and small business and entrepreneurship. I titled it Logic Does Not Apply, and I came up with that because it's so fascinating in my business to see the journey where people finding the right kind of business to own or the right kind of franchise to own. Parts of that journey are not necessarily intuitive. They're counterintuitive. You know, you hear things like, you know, choose a business that you have a lot of passion for, and where people interpret that is, oh, it's something that's, you know, personal interest or a hobby, and then oftentimes people fail in those businesses. So, you know, most people who choose franchise are really surprised by what excites them and what works for them. It's not anything that they ever would have imagined before. So there's a lot of these kind of counterintuitive pathways to success that I've seen my clients experience. So that was the genesis for the theme of my blog. But I'm pushing out a lot of, I mean, it's my own original content. So I've spent a lot of time in that. I'm a good writer, and I enjoy it. So that's the part of it it's a huge, I mean, this stuff is a huge time commitment. I think that's something that a lot of people don't have an appreciation for. I definitely have help. I have a marketing coordinator that she helps me with all of this stuff, with Twitter, with my blog, with LinkedIn. So it's not just me alone. I could never do it. I would never have the time to just handle it all on my own. So kind of long-winded answer to your question there, Jack, sorry. But, yeah, a lot of content that I'm pushing out is my unique content that I write.
Got it. That's fantastic. And for those of us that like to curate good content from other people, thank you for putting that out there. This is Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson from Engage One-to-One, along with Deb Evans from Franchise Foundry. And tonight we're speaking with Leslie Cuban of FranNet of Atlanta. Leslie, we're winding down on time here a little bit. So what would you tell some other franchise folks, marketing folks, sales folks who are who really haven't jumped into social to the level that you have, but they want to? What would be a good tip for them to get started, especially when it comes to generating some franchise leads?
Sure. I think I would take it one step at a time. I mean, I certainly did not do all the stuff at once. It would be pretty easy to get, you know, very overwhelmed from a budget and time commitment standpoint. So I know there's almost kind of a sense of urgency and a little frenzy of, oh, I'm going to miss the boat if I don't jump on this bandwagon and start doing everything all at once. And some people may have the capacity to do that, but for beginners, you know, pick one thing, you know, pick LinkedIn or pick Twitter and really, you know, master that. And then once you have, you find that it's pretty easy to incorporate these other things into what you start with. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. So pick one and go for it and go deep with it.
Great advice. Real quick, too, any upcoming projects or events, or maybe do you have a seminar scheduled for any time later this month in Atlanta for any of the folks that might be interested?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Yes. Actually, I'm giving a 2-hour seminar on Thursday the 21st, and I'm going to be talking about millennials and baby boomers joining forces and starting franchises together, because I'm seeing that more and more. Baby boomer-aged parents leaving corporate America, millennial-aged young adults exiting college, and they're teaming up to start family businesses. So I'll be giving a presentation about that on the 21st.
Oh, wow, and that's in Atlanta on August 21st.
Yes.
And if someone wants more information, wants to sign up or participate, where's the best place to send them for that info?
You know, I would send them to FranNet.com, and you can navigate through to Georgia and then to me. That would be the easiest way to sign up for the event, and would welcome anyone to come who'd like to.
Very good. Well, thank you. And Leslie, again, give us your website so everybody can go check out your website and your blog.
Certainly. It's LeslieCuban.com, LeslieCuban.com. That's my blog.
That's with the K. All right. Well, we are down to the wire now. Jack, thank you so much. Have a safe trip back to your hometown. And Leslie, thank you for joining us. This was very informative, and we're both anxious to see you either in Atlanta for your specialty eggplant or at the next franchising event.
I've got a dinner party coming up then that I've got a plan for.
That's right.
I think just invited ourselves.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Social Geek.